Welcome to Tramlines, a podcast from Agri. I'm your host, Tony Smith, putting your questions to the experts. Today we're going to be talking with Lucy Cottingham, UK Digital Agronomy Development Manager, Steve Portas, Agronomist and Northern Technical Advisor, and Josh Murphy, Product Manager with Riser. Agriculture is a very significant emitter of carbon dioxide. And today we're going to be talking about an innovative project called the Nitrogen Climate Smart Project, which aims to bring about a reduction of 1.5 million tonnes of carbon dioxide emissions per annum. The aim is to increase pulse and legume cropping in arable rotations to 20%, the benefits of which to both arable and livestock enterprises could lead to cost savings of over £1 billion per year. Let's find out more about this innovative project and what it could mean for your farm business. So, Lucy, good morning to you, and perhaps you can start us off by telling us a bit about this project, the NCS project, what it is about, how it is funded, and what its aims are.
Yeah, morning, Tony. So the NCS project stands for Nitrogen Climate Smart, and it's a £5.9 million farmer-led research project, which is being funded through Innovate UK. So it was launched last year. The project's running for 4 years in total, and it involves 18 industry partners from a number of different organisations. So PGR are leading the project, and then you've got the likes of academic organisations and a number of different companies that are experts in the arable and livestock sectors. And also to mention, there's a huge element where farmers are involved in this as well. So we've got around 200 farmers that are going to be involved in the project going through. But the main aims of the project itself are to reduce carbon emissions within agriculture, with the focus on delivering more than half of the greenhouse gas emission reduction targets for UK agriculture. And the way in which we're going to do this is to increase pulse and legume cropping in arable rotations to 20% across the UK, which currently sits at 5%. And the sort of main reasons behind doing this and how we're going to do it is the use of artificial fertiliser at the moment. So artificial nitrogen is a huge emitter of carbon emissions. So we know that as an industry, we need to make changes to reduce this. And we know that pulse and legume crops don't have a need for application of artificial nitrogen as they fix their own nitrogen. So that's one element. So if we can increase pulses and legumes, we don't need to be putting this nitrogen on. The second side of the story is that as a country, we import a huge amount of soya for protein sources for livestock feeding. And obviously these soya sources are coming from Argentina, Brazil, the US. So if we can look to grow our own protein sources for livestock rations, then obviously there's a huge reduction in carbon emissions from not needing to import so much over to the UK.
And Steve, in addition to growing those pulses and legumes to fix their own nitrogen, what are the other agronomic benefits that we really need to take note of?
Yeah, hi, Tony. Well, there are several benefits, really. I mean, one of the main ones is that pulses give the biggest boost to the yield of the following crop, which is usually cereals, usually wheat. The pulses will provide something like 50 to 70 kilos of nitrogen that they've fixed and is available to the following crop, and gives a really good yield boost of quite often sort of one, sometimes 2 tons a hectare.
And Steve, listening to those very compelling reasons for considering growing legumes and pulses in our arable rotations, the question I have is, well, why aren't we growing more currently?
I guess because they've been overlooked. They're not actually not very difficult to grow. Bit of attention to detail, but they're cheaper to grow. As Lucy mentioned, there's no need for manufactured nitrogen. And they, if you do incorporate pulses in your rotation, they do increase the yield stability of the following crops. So it's something that really should be considered. And as Lucy mentioned, you know, there's a move by processors to make a really big reduction in imported soya. So there are some big opportunities.
Yeah, sure. And I understand it's not just soya, but if we talk about haricot beans, then there's a new crop that's emerging as a potential useful pulse that we could be growing.
Yeah, absolutely. We took part in some trials, and last year we were able to harvest the first commercial crop of haricot beans in Lincolnshire. And of course, haricot beans go to make baked beans, which currently we import huge tonnages from America. So it'd be great to grow our own baked beans.
Yeah, absolutely. So just remind us of the range of pulses and legume species that we could be considering seriously in the UK.
Obviously, field beans for compounding for animal feed. That's a growing market. There are peas also, and there are new varieties of peas that have been bred to help replace soy in the diets of pigs and poultry. So there's a new opportunity there. You've got the haricot beans, as we've just mentioned, and of course we've got vetches and other legumes that can be used in cover crop mixtures to capture nitrogen and protect sows over the winter. And also not forgetting lupins. There are some really good projects going on. We've got one again in Lincolnshire, and I think lupins, because they're very high in protein, so that's another opportunity.
And Josh, from your perspective at Ryza, what would be the impact of growing more legumes and pulses on our agronomy decisions?
Yeah, so as Lucy and Steve already mentioned, we can't apply any nitrogen to legume crops. So there's more emphasis on getting the soil set up right from a nutritional perspective. And that really all starts with a soil sample. We can't manage it if we've not measured it. So understanding what nutrients we have in the soil and what level they're at, that's really important. So, there's even looking at it from a whole field perspective gives us a great idea of what's happening in the field. But we've also got access through Ryza, we can map that field. So, break that down into a subfield level. So whether that be for PK, magnesium, various other sort of indices we can test for, we can get an understanding of that and then apply according to what that's telling us. So whether that be variably at point of drilling or as the crop's growing throughout the season with a fertilizer spreader.
So, Josh, what you're saying there is that yes, we can grow more pulses and legumes, but also precision farming has a really vital role to play so that when we are applying that nitrogen, we know exactly where it is going and why we are placing it there on that specific crop.
Yeah, absolutely. And I say with the base nutrition, so whether that be a variable rate phosphate plan or potash plan to balance up the nutrition, so we can actually utilize the nitrogen that's in the soil, opposed to it being locked up through various nutrient imbalances.
So thanks, Josh. So Lucy, is this satellite imagery and using techniques and technology like this part of the overall project?
Yeah, so satellite imagery is going to be really important to this project because we're running two trials looking at winter wheat crops following pulses. So we'll be able to monitor the crop through NDVI imagery, through GCVI imagery to see how the crop's progressing through the season. But also we'll be able to take some drone imagery, which will offer us a bit more granular detail of the actual plots themselves. And as well as that, we're also looking at other fields on a field scale rather than small plot trials, just to see the differences between break crops and how following cereal crops, for example, their biomass is different earlier on in the season because they've got that nitrogen fixing from a previous pulse crop. So we're able to see through satellite imagery through that perspective.
And Steve, I'm really interested to hear that this is a 4-year project, isn't it, Lucy? So should farmers wait until the end of that project before starting to include pulses more frequently in the rotation? Or is that something we can start to try out for ourselves on our farms now?
I think growers should have a look more or less, this next cropping year. I think I mentioned the increasing yield that you get from including pulses in rotations, and what we've seen with growers who regularly grow pulse crops is yield stability in wheat and other crops. And one thing I haven't mentioned is the benefit to soil life, soil structure. You get a really good soil crumb after beans, for example. And because pulses are quite different from the other crops we're growing, like cereals, pulses actually give a boost to soil life, soil microflora, and this increases the fertility. So you do see those growers who have had pulses in the rotation for some time, some really good benefits when you look over sort of 5 or 7 years. So make a start.
Other episodes here on Tramlines that you may also find of interest include Time to Start Carbon Auditing and the latest low-carbon rocket fuel fertiliser products, principles and technologies to achieve efficient farming. Link in podcast bio. And Josh, from your experience at Ryzer, what patterns, what trend are you starting to see in changes in the amount of artificial fertiliser that farmers are putting on and have been putting on over the last 2 to 3 years?
That's a really interesting question, Tony. I mean, we've seen a lot more uptake in variable rate applications for nitrogen. So applying it where it's needed, opposed to just a blanket application across the crop. I mean, it was more sort of more interest was when the hike in nitrogen fertilizer prices, which then meant people wanted to use their nitrogen fertilizer more efficiently. So, you know, if there's a thin patch of the crop in one area of the field, they'd apply less, and the more dense the crop, they'd apply more. So essentially, it's the crops utilizing the fertilizer better.
And when you're looking at pulses and legumes, Josh, from a Ryzer perspective and the tools that you use, do you look at those crops any differently?
Yeah, I mean, Lisa was saying with the satellite imagery, you know, if we can understand how that crop is growing within the field and see the benefits on the following crop, you know, it just gives more justification to putting those crops into the rotation. And then from a sort of base nutrition perspective, you know, to get that crop to grow more effectively, to understand the base nutrition really is quite important. Then we can actually apply the nutrients we need at the right point.
And so following on from what Josh just said about that trend on farm where farmers are using less artificial fertilizer, what else is the industry doing, Lucy, to reduce our carbon footprint?
Well, I think the industry is already making changes because we're being more conscious about the amount of carbon we are emitting. And for example, there are nitrification and urea inhibitors, which can be used for liquid fertilisers to reduce the carbon emissions that obviously are causing us so many problems. So, for example, in Agri, we've got the AgriStart range of LiquiSafe and NutriSphere, which is exactly that. It means that we can reduce the nitrogen oxide and ammonia losses from applications of nitrogen. So as an industry, we are making changes. There's that consciousness. And so as a company, we're also really conscious that farmers want to be using products where they're not losing it to the environment.
So, Steve, there's lots of other benefits from an environmental perspective than just reducing carbon, aren't they? Talk us through one or two of those other benefits that we might see and notice on farm.
Yeah, of course. I mean, when you're growing beans, you do see an increase in local bee numbers. They do help support local beekeepers. And of course, if you increase the bees in the crop itself, we have measured around half a ton a hectare increase in yield from the extra bees that are around. You've increased the insect life generally. And also in pea fields, the RSPB have seen an increase in bird numbers and bird species.
And Steve, thinking about some of the end markets for this potential increase in legumes and pulses, we've talked about the haricot beans, but what are the other markets that farmers and growers can be thinking about?
Yeah, the other key markets, we've got the compounding industry. So we've got proteins being used from pulses for fish food. One of the big ones, of course, is that livestock farmers can grow their own protein, whether that's peas and beans or in fact lupins. So, you know, and that helps to, you know, reduce cost. So there are a lot of opportunities. And also, of course, there are still opportunities for export.
Very, very, very important. So let's just come back to what do you want farmers or agronomists to do differently or as a result of listening to this podcast? Because, you know, this sounds like an incredibly important project. Lucy, what is the project asking for from our industry?
So we're inviting 200 farmers to be involved in the project, and a smaller cohort of those farmers will be actually paid to undertake some on-farm trials. Those farmers that are involved will have access to the Farm Carbon Toolkit, so they'll be able to establish their business's carbon baseline. And also the greenhouse gas emissions from the farms will then be tracked throughout the project and will form a fundamental part of the data set. At the end of the project, the data will be brought together to establish the best scenarios for delivering the optimum environmental and financial results for farmers. So if anyone is really interested in being involved in this project, and we obviously encourage farmers to be involved, then go onto the website www.ncsproject.co.uk and you can enter your details in here and be involved as much as you'd like to be. But also, if farmers aren't already thinking about growing pulses in their rotations, to seriously consider them, because obviously Steve and Josh have mentioned the benefits of growing pulses. So they are, and legumes in rotation, so they are crops that can really benefit from a number of different perspectives.
Yeah, very good. And Steve, from your point of view, I'm thinking about the farmer today, this spring, what they're putting into the ground, and then thinking ahead over the next 12 months. What would you encourage farmers to do with regards to considering growing more pulses and legumes?
Yeah, I would seriously say to have a good look at growing pulses this spring. You can talk to the experts at the PGRO. There's loads of information on the website. It's free of charge, and you know you're quite at liberty to talk to the experts. They're very down to earth, and have a look. One of the things I didn't mention is, of course, that if you're growing pulses this spring, it is going to break the weed, disease, and insect cycles, the build-up, which we've been seeing in all seed rape, we've been seeing in cereals, and of course, you know, using less chemical, but pulses really have a great big benefit.
And Josh, farmers could be using satellite imagery and precision farming techniques that you offer at Riser this spring to help this year's crop performance, couldn't they?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as far as onboarding, to have access to satellite imagery is a really straightforward process. But, you know, it's the historical imagery that's as important as what we're getting today. So we actually understand the behaviours within that field, whether that's crop specific or whether that's weather or what have you. You know, so the more historical data you've got available to you, the better it is.
And so what can farmers do to start considering growing more pulses and legumes on their farms? And where does that fit?
I think farmers need to obviously understand how pulses and legumes can fit in their rotation. And also there are elements, for example, through SFI, there are elements in there which are about including pulses and legumes within mixes. So, and you can get paid to do it. So for example, I noticed there's an improved grassland type mix, legumes in improved grassland mix. So it's all about helping to manage nutrient efficiency, protecting the soil surface and minimising nutrient leaching. So there obviously is benefits to pulses and legumes, and they're trying to bring them in and actually pay farmers to implement them on farm. So it's obviously very topical. We're obviously trying to get towards net zero as an industry. So any of these small changes that we can make on farms are only going to be a benefit to us.
And so looking ahead to the prospects of what this project has to offer, how do each of you feel about those prospects? How excited are you about what this could deliver for UK agriculture?
Oh, it's of tremendous importance. Yeah, it's really exciting. You know, we've now got a chance to really reduce our own carbon footprint and reduce our food miles. So, yeah, very enthusiastic.
And Josh, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, agriculture is very much in the crosshairs when it comes to, you know, carbon emissions. So actually, this project's a great step in the right direction for the industry.
And so, Lucy, perhaps you could sum up this podcast and how you feel about the prospects that this project has to offer.
I think this is a really exciting project for Agri to be involved in. As an R&D department, we're always looking at new and innovative projects to be involved in. And so this is right up there. And it's obviously going to be very beneficial to farmers, to the wider public as well. And we as a company can feed in our trials and the previous work we've done in trials work across these different crops into the project to help with it as well.
Thank you, Lucy, Steve and Josh, for helping us understand some of the aims of the Nitrogen Climate Smart project and how farmers can get involved. That's it for this podcast, but do tune in again as we meet the experts throughout the season, exploring the many immediate and longer-term questions for growers and farmers in the UK. If you have any questions that you would like us to ask the experts, email info@agri.co.uk.
See you next time.